welcome to Everything Scary 3 a.m. My name is John. With me, as always, is Mandy.
Hello.
And happy, you know, after Thanksgiving time period. This is always one of those really awkward time periods because it's just after Christmas. Like, you're just after Thanksgiving, but you're not ready for Christmas yet because you don't even have the advent calendars out. You don't have, like, the Christmas stuff, like, ready. I mean, technically, I say that you can't get it ready until Thanksgiving Day. When Santa Claus shows up at the Macy's Day Parade, that's when it's Christmas time. Mm-hmm. But it's still kind of awkward, like, when you're, like, trying to put up stuff in November for Christmas. I don't know. It is always to me.
I don't think so.
Well, no, but it's because you put it up in September if you can.
You're damn right I did.
But it's to me, it's always one of those things. But it's starting to get cold. It's starting to get moist. And it's like that all the leaves, you don't have crunchy leaves, not in the South. We've got soggy leaves.
We have some crunchy leaves, but it's definitely not pretty leaves like, you know, they do in like with the yellow and then the...
See, I always feel like it's drier up there. Like, we, you know, it's always rainy. This is the rainy season for us.
How can you say that whenever? Well, no.
Yeah.
We got rain yesterday. Yeah.
Now you're thinking about it. Yeah. But the reason why I kind of, it's like, it's cold, it's moist, it's nasty. You're just like, ugh. And I kind of had to find a movie that kind of reminded me of that. And also this kind of like Thanksgiving-y, like pre-Christmas, autumn-like kind of vibe.
I was going to say, this is totally not a rainy movie.
It's got that kind of, like, everybody seems cold in this because they're all wearing all of the stuff.
They're wearing dusters.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
That's cold.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
And it's everything seems moist, too.
All cowboys wear dusters.
I'm just saying. Look, so it's a Western, which has always been kind of Thanksgiving-y to me. And I think that just has to do with more of, like, my family watching, you know, stuff Westerns during that period of time. Yeah. So it's like the Western was on. Like, we would have to watch that. And then you had, like, you know, so I always associated that with the Thanksgiving kind of thing. That and, I want to say, like, June.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right around then. June is more like, you know, it's getting up to July 4th. So it's usually, like, you know, Bridge of the River Kwai or the old school World War II, you know, World War I, like World War-ish movies. Like, you know, like the military movies.
I've never been a fan of Westerns except for Tombstone.
Not even Bone Tomahawk?
Bone Tomahawk was fucking, like...
are we starting to, like, run out with the... I'm just saying.
That was hard to watch in some parts of it.
You liked Back to the Future Part 3. That's technically a Western.
Okay, that is true.
I'm just saying. Like, I can start splitting these hairs if we wanted to.
I don't like a lot of Westerns. There are a few Westerns that I do like.
And, you know, I kind of, like, pretend like we're not, like, you don't know what movie we're talking about. But obviously you do, because it's on the title of the podcast, so it kind of gives it all away. So yes, we are going to be watching 2020's The Pale Door.
Probably one of the longest intros we've had without telling.
Well, that's because I wanted to talk about it a little bit, but you just wanted to hurt my feelings. Thank you, honey. I love you.
You're welcome.
Anyway. So this movie, we picked this up on Shudder. So yep. This one's going to be a Shudder movie. It is coming to us from Aaron B. Kuntz.
Who I wonder if they are related to Dean Kuntz.
Maybe. We found a lot of people who we thought were related to somebody else, like Juliet Varney. Mm-hmm. I was like, is it Jim Varney? And it's like, it literally says on her IMDb page, it says, no.
Not related to Jim Varney.
But Kuntz here, Aaron, he actually, we know some of the movies that he's done. He did Scare Package and Scare Package 2. Basically, wraparounds.
Yeah.
So he did the Horror Hypothesis and Rad Chad's Horror Emporium. So he did the Rad Chad part. He did Scare Package 2, so it's literally says Rad Chad's Revenge, so it must be the wraparound, not the segments.
Yeah, probably. Themselves.
And then he did 2017's Camera Obscura, which has a completely different tone. Like, it's super serious. Like, this one has, like, wenches in it.
Camera Obscura, that sounds familiar.
Well, so you're thinking about, because I did the same thing, you're thinking of that weird camera movie that we saw with the little girl who found the old camera and it had, like, weird pictures.
That was, but isn't that called, that's not called Camera Obscura.
No, that was like Polaroid or something.
Yeah.
But Camera Obscura is, he's like taking photos and it looks a lot like, but isn't, the guy, one of the, I want to say Mary, from Lord of the Rings. Maybe it's the other guy. But it's got that kind of like look on it. It's like, oh, hey, it's that guy. But he's like taking photos, and apparently all the photos show like crime scenes.
Oh.
Because he's seeing like the dead, like people who got killed there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I was enjoying that one, but I wanted to watch the Western, so we'll have to be doing that now. So
that's
we can't do
fine.
That.
That's fine.
But it was written by Aaron B. Koontz, Cameron Burns, and they did basically the same sets of movies, mm-hmm. but they got help from Kenneth Lansdale.
Keith.
Lansdale, who did 2012's Christmas with the Dead and the companion episode from season 1, episode 4 of Creepshow. So remember the one where the weird scarecrow was outside and the guy like
weird.
Made the stitch? Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And so he made that one. He wrote that one.
The stick or whatever, like stab it in the heart.
Did he?
He stabbed him. I think he stabbed it at some point because there was like a stitched heart and then he like stabbed it.
Well, yeah, it didn't work though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it still killed like the bully brother and the kid.
I don't know if it killed the
I think
one
it did.
Kid. Anyways, yeah.
People
I remember
died.
That one. I
the
remember
kid's
that
dad is all I'm saying. but this is starring some interesting people. People that I was like, for real? Would you like to tell them who it's starring? I mean, I can talk this whole thing out. I'm looking at you.
You were on a whole spiel.
Who? That's why I wanted to let you.
So this is actually starring Melora Walters, who was in 1989's Dead Poets Society. She was also in 1999's Magnolia. All my words are running together today. And 2004's, did you go up? Oh, The Butterfly Effect. Stop scrolling while I'm trying to read.
You can't see it.
Yes, otherwise. I could. Okay, and it also has Zachary Knighton, who was actually in The Prince and Me.
Yeah, 2004's. Yeah,
I was like, so it was in the year 200s.
The 200s.
Prince and Me.
Yeah, so that's the one with Julia Stiles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that one. Mm-hmm. And also 1999's Cherry Falls, which I remember that one. Wasn't that like the one where everybody was having sex all the time?
I think so. I just remember that like
was
they
Brittany
started.
Was Murphy in it?
They were rhyming repeatedly. And it was like, Cherry Falls. And I was like, okay.
I just remember I was like, this sounds like sexy. Yeah. No, I wasn't into sexy movies whenever I was younger. So I was like, this sounds like
I thought
I'm
it was trying too hard. That was the problem. I was just like,
I think I need to watch it now as an adult and see if I actually
It's like Ginger Snaps. And I'm like, oh, I get the subtext now. Or like even Jennifer's Body, where it's just like, oh.
Like, I love Jennifer's Body, though. So now I'm like, I wonder
but
if
now
I'm
you
like
get
Cherry
it all.
Falls.
It's like, ah. And then he was also in 94 episodes of the new Magnum PI that came out in 2018.
Ah,
yeah,
cool.
So, poor guy. We got Pat Healy, who was in, just recently, Killers of the Flower Moon, the one that came out in, like, this year.
Oh, never heard of it.
Oh, it's the one where it's oil. Something About Oil has a Martin Scorsese film, I think. A lot of people in it. But he was in 1997's Home Alone 3, or the one that really, really sucked.
The one that I have still never watched.
And 2001's Ghost World.
You love that movie.
I don't, but it was one of the first movies that I ever saw from my college library.
Is that the one that had Thor Birch in
yes.
it? Yes. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a weird thing because it was, like, I finally had, like, complete autonomy, and I could, like, I can watch whatever movies I want because it, you know, before it was like
I'm an adult now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I, if I was gonna go anywhere else, like I'd have to like, oh well, yeah, I'm the only person with the thing. I never thought, hey, you know, I should just get a
most people just
home
get
like a Hollywood video
whenever they're an adult. They just,
oh yeah,
that's like their rebellion thing is I'm gonna go get porn.
I could get that online though whenever I wanted. Like that was the problem. Like
they
yeah,
weren't. They
I didn't have to hide
insane.
Shit. It was on here.
I'm gonna go watch Ghost World.
I know. It was just like I can watch whatever the fuck I wanted. Like it was compared to like, hey, also pick me up some movies. And why did you like buy this one? Like what's going on here? Because we had the it was Hollywood Video, and they were trying to compete with Netflix. So they were giving like three movies a day kind of thing. Like you could pull out three of them at a time. And I was every time I would go, like my folks were like, no, you gotta watch this one. Like, no. We're watching this one, and, like, for some reason, Rising Sun a bunch of times.
Hmm.
It was weird.
That is weird.
But we also, speaking of Rising Sun, we have, in this movie, we got Stan Shaw. He was in Rising Sun, but he was also in 1987's The Monster Squad, where he was the detective.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We got Bill Sage, who was Venable from 2021's Wrong Turn, which we did. So I think he's the older, like, main antagonist guy.
Oh.
from the what was it called? It was like wrong turn colon seven.
I don't know.
Frontiersman or something like that.
But it's the one wherever we love the ending to it.
Yes. Because we got a good one on that. James Landry Ebert? Ebert?
Ebert.
Ebert. Ebert. I don't know. It's got Ebert. It's got a tilde. He was Axel, the Mohawk guy from Stranger Things season 2 for like 2 episodes. Yeah, I know. I don't remember that part either. But so Eleven went like, I'm going to go find other psychic people. She like was hanging out with people and she was like, I'm a badass. And
oh, that's then right.
That was 2017, by what? The way. Really? That was 6 years ago.
Holy shit.
Like, yeah.
No wonder why they all look full grown, because they're freaking full grown by now.
We got Noah Sagan, who was in Knives Out and Brick, which the two of those are some of my favorite movies.
Well, I like Knives Out.
I don't like Knives Out.
I like Knives Out. You like
Brick. I like Brick.
Yeah.
But he's actually the husband that kills all the werewolves in the Mister segment from Scare Package.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah, the one
who is he in Knives Out?
I don't know.
Huh, that's going to drive me nuts.
He was Dade in the other one.
No, he's in the other movie that we wanted to watch. Isn't he the dad in the vampire? He's the dad in the vampire movie.
You keep putting like fangs in your face. I don't understand. It was the vampire movie.
The
like,
vampire movie wherever his daughter comes back and she's a vampire. Like his daughter comes to see him and she's a vampire and he had no idea he had a daughter.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
That's the same guy. Because remember I said, oh, it's the dude from the werewolf. He's the werewolf one.
Okay.
Oh, forget it.
I don't know if it's the same guy. He's the husband who kills all the werewolves.
Yes. That is him.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
That is him. Just forget it. Just forget it.
And of course, rounding out the cast is Jeremy King, a.k.a. Rad Chad. So, yeah, it's kind of nice that the director kind of brings his friends along to the other movies.
Apparently, this is the Shudder team.
Although, I do want to see what happens with Rad Chad in, like, the Old West.
Something other than Rad Chad's Scare Package?
Like, I'm wondering, I don't know if I can take him seriously. I can't wait to watch it. But we are going to go ahead and pause it here. We are going to go ahead and check this out. Again, it is on Shudder. So, you know, what else are you using your Shudder for? Although you might be watching Stan vs. Evil, which we ended up doing.
I cannot believe you've never seen that show.
Or the new episodes of Creepshow, which also we still haven't finished those up. But
that's because it was bad.
Well, the first two were nothing. We watched the first two. They weren't that great. Anyway, we're going to pause it here. We'll be right back.
Yep, be right back.
Where's the goddamn sink? Who are you?
My name is Pearl.
Well, there goes our big payday.
She's just an innocent woman.
We ain't gonna sell her anything we do.
If you take me to my home, there would be a handsome reward. This way, to the brothel.
Gentlemen, please, make yourselves at home.
I understand there was a reward.
Of course. A handsome sum for these handsome men. Don't be afraid.
What is happening?
We gotta get out of this too.
Need to find our way out of this. I'll go down swinging.
And we're back.
We are back.
Ugh.
The endings. Why do the endings always have to shit the bed?
That shit the bed harder than a like current year Stephen King movie, like book.
Just
like that was terrible. Like that was what it reminded me of is if you're like playing with a group, and then enough people like get killed off, and they're like, well, I don't want to make another character, like you know, doing like a tabletop or something like that. And then it's like, well, I don't know how I'm going to fucking finish this thing, so let me go ahead and just, like, at the fucking end. Yeah. Like, we didn't know, we wrote ourselves into a corner, and then we didn't know what the fuck to do. Which sucks, because they didn't do that with Scare Package, like, the first one, but they did that kind of with Scare Package 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scare Package 2 wasn't that good. Yeah, so this movie is interesting in the sense that it's straight up witchery. It's like it's witchcraft, but like I don't know, like, if it's where it's supposed to be set, because it's clearly the Old West, but then they put in, like, Salem witchcraft, Potemkinville, which Potemkin, I think, is a Russian word. So I'm like, what is this?
And the way that they talk is very new.
Yeah. If,
like,
it
the
was
fuck,
a little
man?
Weird.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, they wouldn't have talked like
they
that.
They wouldn't have said that, no. But, yes, it starts in a just a time, sometime in the Old West. We don't know when. We don't know how much time takes place later on, either. Has it been 10 years, 20 years after the beginning part? I don't know. But the sequence begins with, you know, it starts actually with, like, a weird... It's a quote from a Poe book, and then, like... creepy, like, witchcraft stuff, and then it turns out we're in, like, an old bedroom, which bedrooms in the 1880s look suspiciously like a bedroom for the 1950s. Like, that was kind of weird to me. I was like, oh, wow, it's nothing. Okay, cool. Oh, and then what do we get? We got the giant burning upside-down cross before that. I was like, ah, look, a burning cross.
Oh, where?
That's a big old burning cross.
Where the credits are?
Yes. So yes, and then it's a dark and stormy night, and the kids are trying to sleep. Big brother walks over to little brother, puts a little neckerchief on him, which thank God he stays awake, because I kind of worried, like, it's like, don't worry, go ahead and wear this constricting, you know, piece of clothing around your neck while you're trying to sleep. You'll be fine, little brother.
Well, he was fine.
Yes. And that's when dad rushes in, cause he's, I guess the, I don't know if it was the lawman or the people, you know, like, we find out later that daddy had done been stolen stuff around there.
Stealing stuff around there.
Everything been stolen. anyway, but he'd be stealing, if you want to do it that way, around and stole everything that he had. So he arms the children with, one of them looked like a walker. Like, it was a giant fucking gun for that child.
Yeah.
Like, the youngest brother
It was the older brother, actually, yeah, but...
Well,
thank goodness, no. It was the older brother.
The younger brother got the teeny tiny. Like, he got a Walker Colt. That thing he got a gun that I think it had percussion caps in it. But he gave him the biggest fucking gun for a 10-year-old I've ever seen. And then he gives the elder brother, a Kentucky long rifle.
There you go. That's what I was thinking.
That was the funniest goddamn thing in the entire, like, where the hell did you get that? He's going to have to, like, oh, well, thank God he's got the one shot there, Dad. And, of course, Dad's running around with nondescript shotgun, and same thing with Mom, too, I guess.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Mom
had
a gun, but, like, she, like, we don't get to see any of that, because brother runs outside. They both run outside and get to the shed, where they're saved by Stan Shaw, who is playing Lester in this movie.
Yeah.
And he pulls the kids out, and it was actually pretty funny, because the I was sitting there watching the youngest, and he's like pointing the gun at the door. I'm like, he's gonna blow his brother away. He's gonna pop his brother 5 seconds in. And that's like one of the main conceits of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't, because apparently the younger brother doesn't kill anybody ever. That's his deal. Like, we find that out much later. But yes, he was never killed, never taken a life, no matter what. But he almost drills the brother as he walks in. Then brother decides to stand next to the door with it, like he braced the big ass rifle that he's got up against the wall, but he never shoots it. And I know
he did shoot it.
He didn't shoot it.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because Stan Shaw comes in and blows away the two guys there.
Yeah.
And I know that he didn't shoot it. We both know that he didn't shoot it, because we'd still be hearing it now. That damn thing was so huge. And then we just kind of skirt to, I guess, 10 years later. I don't know, like, the kid's too young, like, I don't know what happened.
I think it was probably like 10 years later. I can see it.
But it's the youngest brother, who is Jake, is working at a saloon, and he's like sweeping up, but he pisses off, you know, some guy, and then as soon as that guy's gonna whoop his ass, the entire Dalton gang, run by his brother, who's David Drood, I think. But he is Duncan. Duncan is the older brother's name.
Yes.
Duncan.
Is it the Duncan gang?
No, it's Dalton.
Okay,
he's so Duncan Dalton. The other one is Jake Dalton.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So it's Dalton. Okay.
And then all of the colorful cast of characters that come with the Dalton gang.
I like that.
Are there?
I thought it was fun.
And they intimidate the hell out of everybody. Then they have themselves a nice little time. We had the sort of smart guy preacher erudite dude in the bowler hat. We had the Native American silent guy. We had the crazy, like, really horny, like,
I would just say
girl.
He was... Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about the girl.
Her name was Brenda.
Yes, Brenda. And then we had, we did have the clown guy, who was the class clown guy. We had Dodd, who was the asshole. And then we had Lester, who's still showing up and hanging out.
Yes.
We had another guy, who is the dude, at the very beginning, who, I swear to God, this guy looked like he came out from Back to the Future.
He did.
Like, he looked like he was like, yeah. Oh, yes, I went to I was just like, oh my God, he's, Marty McFly came back in time. What the hell? And he is having a standoff with Rad Chad outside. And Rad Chad, for some reason, is wearing a tent?
A candy stripe. It was like a candy stripe vest.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Or like, but it's orange and... Yeah, it was weird. So he doesn't make a very long...
He looked like he was going to do the barbershop quartet. So,
there you go.
So the Dalton guy, who's Marty McFly, gets shot by Rad Chad, who Rad Chad is super happy about that, but then he gets shot by Dodd.
Like, right in the head.
Like, boom. Dodd is just killing people left and right.
I don't know if it's Dodd. I think it was actually... Dodd, I think it was Duncan.
Okay.
I think Duncan.
So Duncan and Dodd both have the same kind of haircut to me. That was my problem.
Yeah. Kind of.
They just seem very similar in that kind of vibe. But that leaves the Dalton gang one man short for the train job that they're going to be taking. Again, this feels like, if you've ever played Deadlands, this is kind of it. Every single one of these characters has quirks. They've got clearly a backstory with each other. Like, we even have like a moment there later on where the bowler hat guy is talking to Lester. And he's like talking to him, like, it's like, you know, I was really bothered by the fact that you were made, you know, gang leader, but I understand it now. And I'm like, yeah, I know we've been through a lot of stuff, and I know you've been through a lot of stuff with Duncan, but now I understand why. And I'm like, I kind of wish we knew what they went through. Like, that would be interesting. Can we see that movie? Or maybe get like some, a comic book accompaniment or something like that?
I don't want to see that movie because they'll probably just shit the bed on that one too.
Well, we already know how it shits the bed at the very end. So yeah, that's a kind of terrible part. But let's go ahead and get to that shit in the bed. They do a pretty good train robbery. Train gets stopped. We actually had some very interesting little bits there where it's a train full of Pinkertons guarding a trunk. And I don't know what's going on with this, because, I wonder
how they got the witch.
I feel like some of this was changed, like, midway through.
Possibly.
Because, so the person who's supposed to be, who's paying for the job is Clayton Mather, or Cotton Mather, IV.
Yes.
The name of, okay, so we'll get into that in a second point. But, what happens is all the Pinkertons who are guarding the chest, except for like three, go outside. They all get murked like super fucking quick, like bad guys in, I don't even know, like a Sentai movie. Like, this is like, these guys get killed off in like 5 seconds.
They really
hilarious.
Do. They're like bam 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 bam.
Blop, 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 blop. Brenda goes inside and starts being sassy at everybody, and that's when Duncan, I think, either Duncan or one of the other guys, maybe it was Dodd. I think it was Dodd because he killed somebody with a knife.
Yes, that was Dodd.
Yeah, he runs in, just kills like five guys and stabs one in the throat.
Yeah.
And then they have to sit there staring at this trunk because that wasn't what they were looking for. They were looking for a safe. And that pisses Duncan off to the point where he goes and he talks to one of the Pinkertons and then puts his spur in the mouth.
That was Dodd.
That was Dodd? Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay, so one of them was Duncan, one of them was Dodd. Now you're just messing with me.
No. It was Dodd who put the spur in his mouth, because Dodd is like the asshole badass.
Well, that also seems like something that Duncan would do.
No, because Duncan was too busy watching his brother. That's how he knew that he let the girl go.
Yeah, but Duncan was outside.
Yeah.
So Dodd was inside. So Duncan had to have been outside to have watched him let the Pinkerton girl go. So there was one Pinkerton lady out there who had been shot. That's when Jake comes across her. And then he uh, he lets her go. He lets her go because she needs to go. She's wounded. She just needs to go. He lets her go. And that's when, later on, when everybody pulls the trunk outside and sees that it is a lady in a trunk, which the references to Firefly in this show are many. It feels a lot like a lot of Firefly-ness. And maybe that's just because of the Western part. But also, there's a lady in a trunk. That kind of happens in Firefly.
Does she have on a weird Hannibal Lecter mask?
No, but that actually kind of reminded me. I was sitting there looking at it, and she had a Hannibal Lecter mask on her with a cross over the mouth.
So it's probably to keep her from saying any spells.
Correct. But that was one of those amateurs recognize that there's a girl stuck in the box. Professionals sit there looking at the cross around the girl's mouth and saying, huh, that probably shouldn't be happening like that.
Mm.
But during this whole situation where, and it's really kind of funny because they have the trunk open and they're looking into it all around it before we see that there's a woman stuck in there. But because one of them is holding the lantern kind of in front of it, it kind of reminded me of Pulp Fiction where they had the light coming out of the trunk the whole time. I was just like, ah, what's going on over here? They sit there. They're probably going to go ahead and finish the job, which is taking the girl to Cotton Mather the Fourth. But that's when the Pinkerton girl shows back up and shoots our intrepid Duncan. And unfortunately, that kind of spurs everything in. He gets gut shot, too. Pretty bad. Mm-hmm. He's only got about 3 days to live, according to... I don't remember if they gave him a name. Did they? They kept calling him the Chief. The guy who... the Native American guy.
Oh. Maybe the Chief. I don't know.
Guess.
Well, I don't think he had a different name.
He didn't survive long enough for us to give us a name. But he does indicate that that's how long they're going to live. The girl who is Pearl... I remember that because that pissed me off in X so much. I hate that name. tells them that, oh, yes, we have a doctor. Come to the village of Potemkin. We have many fine things. So they are going to go to Potemkin because there's no way that they're going to be able to get the guy back.
Yeah.
To Mason or wherever the hell that they were.
Yeah.
I thought it was really weird with the... They Uncle Ben'd Duncan the way that they did with that. That was kind of bitch. But I'm kind of wondering now if the Pinkerton girl was one of the witches that we had beforehand.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we didn't get to see her very well. But that would have been interesting. That would have been a funny thing. Because we hear... So basically what happens is they go to... they're trying to find Potemkin. They get lost for a little bit. They send two of the guys out. The two guys can't find the damn place where Pearl is. That's when they send out Brenda to go find medical supplies at an outpost. And that's when they realize that Pearl has escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Just after Duncan put Lester in charge, which was interesting in the sense that we didn't really get enough of that being a, what do you mean he put you in charge situation? Like, that whole scene could have been cut, and we would have had a little bit of extra time for a better ending, I think.
Mm.
We didn't get a whole lot of use out of the Lester runs everybody now
thing. I mean, I could see it, though. Like, I could see, I do think that there should have been more fighting in that, but I can see, though, where the hesitation was on the other guys, the bowler hat guy.
Yeah, kind of, maybe. But, I mean, it wasn't enough to the point where it caused any point in contention or even a plot point. Like, there wasn't enough of a plus. Like, we didn't even get Lester later on saying, I was like, he put me in charge for a reason. We have the bowler hat guy going, I understand why he told you to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but at the point where none of it mattered.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's when Pearl just kind of shows up out the door and says, well, I've got everybody and, quick, we have help at the brothel. And then she leaves.
My mom said to bring you guys to the brothel.
And everyone's just like,
oh, okay.
Did they say brothel?
Okay, sounds good. So they all go to the brothel. And brothelness ensues.
You know what the interesting thing to me was that this was somewhat a normal, this felt like a brothel. Like an 1880s brothel. None of the girls were like super hot, and it was like they weren't wearing a lot of makeup.
Well, no,
a lot
but of them they were missing cool. A lot of the herpes.
Yeah, good point. Wish they would have had, like, white paint on them. But then again, we find out why they don't have the herpes in about a little bit. And the women begin to take the men off. They take Duncan into the back room, who's not doing well. For some reason, we get the plot point of the woman is with... Your seed belongs with another. You know, she has a son,
yeah, like,
I guess.
She's brewing a son, basically.
Yeah, and we were like... What the fuck does that have to... What?
I was like, okay, maybe he's like...
Am I supposed to not know that you're a witch?
That'll make him, like, pull through
or something. Like, it was an odd little plot point, but I was like, okay. And then, you know, you spend the rest of the time watching all the men folk get taken over to different places. Buller, like, they start doing different things to the guys so that they can get bits of them, I guess. So, Buller Hat Guy gets the hair, like, the girl brushing his hair.
Yes, yes.
And so they steal his hair. We got Lester getting he's eating
shaving.
Soup.
Oh, yes. Lester was eating the soup and was getting cleaned.
Yes.
And then...
the clown guy was getting shaved.
Yes, he was getting shaved in a bath.
I think the chief had two ladies.
Yes.
So, yeah, everybody was going to have gonna have themselves a good time. But then we note the...
The only person who really started to have a good time was, like, in it was Dodd.
Yeah, Dodd is going to, like, the girl is like, come on, let me give you a shower or bathe you. He's like, no, Dodd likes it dirty.
I was like, ugh.
And the whole time that we're seeing this, we get to go over to Jake, and Jake has
talking to the mom of the brothel.
Yeah, has a conversation with her. She susses out that he's gay, which... I guess was sort of a plot point, but not really. But he's also a virgin, and he has never killed anybody, which tweaks all of the witches. All of the witches are turned, like, you know, they did
what?
They all turned their head directly at him.
I did like that part. Yes, I thought that was really cool.
It was kind of like, what did it remind me of? A little bit of, like, that part in Super Mario when the girl shakes her head a couple of times. A little bit like Jacob's Ladder kind of that vibe.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But all the women just... Shoop, right directly at Jake. And for some reason, and I don't think they should have done this, but they do. Mother decides to go ahead and touch Jake's hand to give him the backstory. And kind of the whole information that we get. Which is that in, like, 200 years before, which, again, I don't know where that puts this settlement.
It didn't matter.
200 years before, we see, what was it, Melora?
The lady. So yeah. We got the mother, and the mother is pregnant with the baby.
And, she, you know, gets caught by a Puritan, because everybody's wearing, you know, the square buckles on their hats, and they burn that bitch to the ground. Just boom, let's set her on fire. And the worst part, though... is the guy that they chose to be Cotton Mather. So this is Cotton Mather. I don't know if it's Cotton Mather the fourth or if it's Cotton Mather and then the guy that they were going to give the girl over to, they were going to turn Pearl over to, the Dalton gang was going to turn Pearl over to.
He would have been like the sixth or something.
He was the fourth, though. But, like, so I don't know if it was like that
so
was
that
the
was
original.
The first one.
Yeah.
So that would have been, okay. that probably would have been the first one or the second one, maybe.
Okay. So we know that he is after these wishes.
Mm-hmm.
But
he is like, you're going to burn in hellfire. I know it will happen.
And it was the squeakiest goddamn voice the entire time.
Who would you have picked for that role?
I would have picked anyone else.
Him? I could see Carl Urban. Like, you're talking about Carl Urban.
Okay.
I could see Carl
Urban.
See,
I want to see Dodd as Carl. Like, I want to see Carl Urban as Dodd because okay. I want to see him be like, one of the things you got to learn is Carl Urban likes it dirty. And be like, that'd be funny. You'd expect that stuff.
I'd be like, Carl Urban, you're so dirty.
Like, the guy sounded like the preacher kid from There Will Be Blood. Like, it was high pitched and like, these women will burn in hellfire. I tell you greatly that you have fornicated with the devil.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it was not menacing.
You need to stop, bro. Like, I don't, like, no one's into this part. Like, this is dumb.
Well, now I need to know who should have played his part. So not Carl Urban.
I would have had anyone. Like,
who?
Anyone else with a stronger voice. I would have had Dan Aykroyd do it.
That
would have been hilarious.
I was just thinking about The Rock.
You could have had The Rock. I mean, I probably, William Catt would have been great. You know, I'm trying to think of anybody at this point. I would have gotten an anime voice actor to do it just for no reason. Yeah, that Steve way Bloom. The whole time Spike Spiegel's killing this guy.
Say Steve Bloom.
Yeah, Steve Bloom or friggin' Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron probably could have given us a little bit more Hellfire out of this stuff. There was no Hellfire in this one. This was like the whiniest, like he was the bitchy RA on your block that like, it's like, no, I'm sorry, you can't. I smelt smoke. Do you have a hot plate in there? Like I assumed he was going to tattle on me.
What's the guy who does like Winnie the Pooh's voice and Tigger's voice? And he
Frank Oz?
No. He does. Oh my gosh, it's gonna drive me nuts. He was in a movie that we watched also. Cummings, Richard Cummings,
Jim Cummings.
Jim Cummings. Okay, he should have played it.
Oh, that would have been funny. I would have wanted him to do that with the
not in Winnie the Pooh voice. Obviously,
I wanted him to do the Piglet voice. Bother.
It was hard to take seriously.
It was terrible. And we see the mother burn. And that was the day that Pearl was born, 200 years ago. Pearl, who returns in her hookeriest finest, which...
girl had giant lips. Like, big old lips.
She looked like a discount version of the girl who played Magic in the X, the New Mutants movie. The one that you really like her in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like the discount version of her.
I can see it.
A little bit. Like, you could have, like, Samara Weaving, and then, like, I feel like it's a mixture
between Emily Browning and then that girl.
Yeah, okay. It's that kind of vibe. She's just like, she wasn't very attractive, and she kind of had her eyes going two different directions. I was wondering what she was looking at. It makes sense. She's a bird. We do find out later on, because we get a flashback later on that shows us them pulling the corpse down of the witch lady, who is now Crispy, and then multiple other women around her speaking Latin, because, of course, that's witchery is done only in Latin. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You'd think it would be done something else.
Maybe it's pig Latin.
Yeah, maybe. Now I'm just waiting for them to say, like, I can't even think of it.
You can't even think of it, right? I'm like, that's all right. Anyways, so it's pig Latin.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? Send us your best pig Latin leave us a voicemail. Send us your best pig Latin of a witch chant. I want to see this. It was that kind of thing. But then she plops out a little bird out of the vajayjay. That was Pearl being born. No, it was a bird.
Ew.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yep. Birds come out of a lot of places.
That is true. But I was already grossed out because I thought that she was having the baby, and I was like, ooh, oh wow.
She was having a baby. You know, a baby bird.
Oh.
But I don't know who puked up into that child's mouth, but somebody did. Anyway, it's at this point that we notice that there are witches on the ceiling, crawling around like the demons from Demon Knight. That was like the whole kind of vibe I kept getting was this was really trying to be Demon Knight. One of the cute things, though, and I thought this was very nice, was that all of the witches, they have the stereotypical witches hook nose, they've got the faces, they look very much like the witches from Witches, mm-hmm. From the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
But the one thing that I don't, like, I liked so much about it was that they were also burned.
They were all burned.
All crispy.
Yeah, which is why they looked the way that they did.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, that's an interesting concept.
And she even put that into the story, because he's like, you were burned, and she's like, we were all burned.
We were all burned. So they were all the witches that were burned at Salem, I guess, maybe. You know, I think that was like,
the cotton guy did.
It was just cotton.
That was like 107. That would have been 172 witches or something.
Well, that's the assumption that we have from Stan versus Evil. The Salem witch trial, if they burned anybody at the stake, which I don't know if they did, they usually hung them, was 20.
Oh, am I like mixing up stories?
Yes, you're mixing up stories.
My bad.
But see, I don't remember them burning a lot in the New World. They were really big on it in the Old World, but I don't remember that.
I can't believe I just confused. See, that's why we can't watch scary things like one after the other.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's at this point that the witches begin to show themselves. Dodd, poor bastard, is at least the person who kept his clothes on. Good for him. Everybody else is having to put their clothes on really quickly. The clown... is sliced and destroyed by, like, he gets stabbed in the eyes and slashed up real bad. The chief gets taken out.
Like a bitch.
Yeah, like, we don't even get to see a fight.
But, I mean,
that.
Then again, though, it was two witches against him.
Good point. Yeah. And see, that's what happens. Go into a threesome at a whorehouse, you get killed by two of them. You gotta be careful. Only one-on-one at the whorehouse, guys.
Or just don't go to a whorehouse, period.
I'm just saying one-on-one, all right? Look, I'm not going to expect anybody to turn down free whorehouse, all right? That's just, look, free whorehouse. Like, that was the thing. Yeah. It could be witches, maybe not.
Please just move on.
I'm not
going
to try that. But after that, let's see, Stan, so Lester, like I keep calling him Stan, Lester shoots the fuck out of people, mm-hmm. which was awesome.
Pretty much Lester and Dodd are the only two people who
are just like, rampage. Yeah. Like, oh. They are blowing people and left
Bowler
and right.
Hat. Bowler Hat with Bowler a shotgun.
Bowler Hat gets a shotgun, but it took him a while to get it, and he was very confused as to what the hell was going on.
As he should be, because that's confusing.
Unfortunately, I don't think...
I think he killed two or three witches. Yeah. But yeah, Dodd and Lester definitely
But even then,
most.
Like, what's his name? Jake didn't kill nobody.
No, and that's the whole thing. He still didn't freaking kill anybody.
I don't think they count as people, though. That's,
he
that's
hid
disappointing.
Behind the bar.
What a wuss. But thank God Lester showed up to pull him out of there. But yes, they get the hell out of there. They go outside. We see Brenda burning at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get back to the old trapper cabin that they had been hiding at the first place. We get kind of a, what are we doing? What's happening here?
That's right. Dodd pulled him into the trapper.
Yes, because he had run outside himself. And everyone's just like, I can't believe you left us. I'm like, what the fuck was he supposed to do?
He's like, yeah, but I just saved you.
There were like creepy undead hookers running
around.
No,
Dodd, you're a dick.
People are getting shot left and right. I don't know if we're getting kills out of this, though. That was the part that kind of confused and concerned me, was that they were blowing people away, just shooting these witches all over the goddamn place.
But they're
place.
Already dead.
But, well, I mean, yeah, but we don't know if it's actually, you know, they were burned. They weren't blown away by, you know... 4570. Hell, 4570 is the only government I ever needed, and the government might be taking it out. I don't know. Those are some of the biggest, oldest, stupidest bullets ever. They may be enough to kill undead monsters. We have no idea. Just gigantic bloom. Black powder all over the place. They have a kind of a, what are we going to do? Oh, let's go ahead and go to the church, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, they decide that they got to look around the place first, because they want Jake wants to go find Duncan, because Duncan's missing, and for some reason the ladies are like, hey, we only want Jake. And this is the part that I liked the best, was that they even said so beforehand, was like, we want Jake, and nobody was like, let's give up Jake. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the thing that really pissed me off beforehand. And I, again, it goes back to the feeling of an RPG, like a tabletop RPG, when you're playing with your friends. Because that would be something that the main bad guy would do, which is offer you, like, the, you know, just give us the random NPC. And, you know, it's also something that the PCs would do, which is be completely asinine and go ahead, no, fuck that shit, we're gonna go ahead and set this motherfucker on fire. Yes, we're completely outgunned and outnumbered, but damn it, we're gonna go ahead and shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because this became a Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid situation straight from that point on.
Yeah.
Because they're walking around, they don't know where they're going. They walk towards the brothel, they go into the brothel. Two of them make it in, the other two are teleported to a random section of woods. So it's Dodd and Jake inside of the brothel. The brothel hasn't been used in 200 years. It's Lester and Bowler Hat out in the woods. They cack a couple of like running witches at that point, but then they can't because it's getting tired and the woods just go on and on. And that's when Dodd and Jake find them again for no reason. And they're like, quick guys, this way.
To the church.
We need to get into the church because that's where the next plot point is.
So they all go to the church.
Unfortunately, at this point, Lester has been bitten in the leg. And I got to tell you, these witches go for the legs like crazy.
They do.
One of the things was is they couldn't have gone for Dodd's legs because Dodd was wearing his boots. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? Always wear big, long boots if you're going to a whorehouse because you never know if they might be witches.
Yeah, they could be ankle biters.
They could, and they bit just every single ankle.
Vicious.
Everybody's ankles got bit.
Vicious little chihuahuas.
Like four ankles that got bit. Like, I want to say. There was a, yeah. It was like, they were biting ankles all over the damn place.
There was a few.
There's a lot of them. Anyway, so they make it into the church. For some reason, the church inside of the witch's town is still sacred ground. I feel like that should have been something that they took care of very early on.
Maybe they couldn't.
They're able to bust open windows and, like, yell at shit. You're telling me they couldn't have thrown something at it?
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, you know, it's like, mother, I think we should take care of the church. I have built a trebuchet that will throw lantern oil upon it and burn it to the ground so we don't have to deal with it anymore. No, let's not do that. But why, mother? Because it'll be really cool later. Shut up. I'll tell you why later.
Pretty much.
Which we do have a moment there. We get into the church. That's when they start making the, look, we'll let you go. everybody can go. That's when Dodd gets up and becomes my favorite character because he tells Pearl to go fuck herself. I was like, huh, that's surprising.
You can fuck off. You're not getting him or me. Yeah. How about that?
And Dodd, like, my assumption would have been that Dodd was the character that turned around on that one. Was like, let's send him outside. You know, yeah. Like, tries to send him out, tries to make that. He's going to be Thomas Hayden Church or, is that his name? The guy.
Oh, yes.
From Hayden Wings. Church. Yeah. In Demon Knight. He was gonna sell him out. That was the sellout feel.
Yes.
That doesn't happen. But we do now see that the hair and the bite are definitely affecting the other gentleman because the hair is put into a bucket full of blood and then splashed over a lady in some kind of coven area who is topless and who you said has very bad back problems.
It's just like, good Lord, that poor lady's boobs are huge.
Yeah, that was exactly, I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to look at that, but all right, honey.
Oh, whatever.
Well, now I have to compare and contrast.
Well, apparently well, you're no, okay with rewind it. Apparently you're okay with whorehouses.
Well, they were all dressed at that point. Uh-huh. I didn't have to worry.
Anyways.
anyway, so that's when Bowler Hat Guy starts chewing on glass because he's super hungry. That's when we have the heart-to-heart where Lester tells Jake that Jake's dad was a thief and stole everything. Mm-hmm. And that was Lester's last thing that he had to do because he immediately dies. There is a pulsating from his leg that led to a bird coming out of his mouth. So that happened.
Yep.
Then we have a weird dream sequence that leads to everybody on the roof of the church, but they weren't really on the roof. The church is just now turned upside down. But we do see Bowler Hat Guy carving his eyes and mouth out, and then he dies.
Yes.
Yep. And,
yeah. now it's just down to two.
Yep, it's Dodd and Jake. Dodd and Jake show, you know, 100 years, 20 seasons, and a movie. Unfortunately, Dodd does not have enough guns, but they run outside like they are fighting the entire Bolivian army. They are not. There are hardly any witches around, but they run outside. They use almost all their bullets on trees, so that sucked. and then they go, it starts raining blood.
Yep.
Yep. Really, like, light-colored, super slurpy blood.
It's like Kool-Aid.
But then it stops, but then it starts raining regular, but then they died of Creek, which has a surprise witch inside of it that goes after another ankle.
Jake's ankle, actually.
Dodd uses his last bullet, shoots that witch, but she comes back out of the water, or maybe it was another witch. I have no idea how many witches there are. And then they run to the town square. Jake has the freak out remembrance of the bird being born. And then they run towards the church again. That's when Jake goes into the church while Dodd stays outside and dies like a man. Which I is guess. Just terrible.
They still gave him a bitch ending, though.
Well, yeah, they didn't show us that much.
It's like a bitch death, yeah.
Jake, on the other hand, is still a super-duper bitch. He goes outside trying to leave, but he can't. I don't know how he got out of the church as Dodd was dying, because Dodd's dying,
I don't think he
Jake
went
goes
into
the church, and then he was running towards the church.
I thought he was on the side of the church.
Maybe he was like right next to it, but it looked like he was inside the church. But I guess he must have gone out one of the other doors or something, or the side window that was busted open, because suddenly he's in front of the chapter cabin again, which didn't make a whole lot. I was like, okay, I guess we're here, and that's where Mother and Pearl is. And they try to do this whole bit about like, you know, we'll give you your brother back. And his brother came out. Now, we did see a before where they tried that and it fucked up because
where they tried to trick him.
Because the call and response for Jake is, hey, big brother. Hey, little brother. This is where the movie shits the bed. It's at this point that what happens is Jake sacrifices himself for Duncan. Duncan rides away. And then it goes to black. And then we see Duncan years later. With his wife at the old farmstead. And then the movie ends.
I don't even know if it's years later.
It's long enough for her to have had a kid.
Yeah, but...
And
so maybe like
Jacob
a year.
Is...
Maybe like a year later maybe, or something. Maybe. Yeah. There's still a baby.
Yes. And he's a terrible farmer, so we know that Dalton is probably going to go right again. But that's when it zooms out on a crow and we're done.
Yeah.
We know that something terrible happened to his brother.
Yeah, because they were going to use his blood
To sustain them.
To sustain them for a few years, or decades, for a few decades.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of walked it off? And I guess they kept their, you know, he didn't just walk 15 feet and then die from sepsis and the wound.
Yeah, that potion they gave him was a real winner.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, and we're done. Okay, we're done.
Yeah.
What do you mean we're done? What the fuck do you mean we're done? This is bullshit. Like, it was a bad ending.
Yeah, I was not happy.
Like, that's a negative two from the endings. I don't normally give negative ones or plus ones. No, it's a negative two. This is terrible.
The way it should have ended is that Jake should have still kept the gun, waited until he left, because she said flat out, our magic stops whenever, at the gate or whatever, whenever, so or at the edge of the town. So he should have gotten all the way through, and then Jake should have shot himself. Like, if he was going to go through all that, he should have shot himself.
Or had, like, the teeny Derringer that the, what's his name had? Like, the itty-bitty gun or something? Yeah, something. Or cut his own throat or did anything. But we don't. We see him, we see the walk away. And it sucked. That was terrible.
How did this get 5 skulls on Shudder? Like,
I don't know.
Maybe it's because they didn't wait until the end.
They just like, oh, this is great. I love it. But bleh. Just shat the bed there.
Ugh, so tired of movies doing that.
But anyway, yeah, I'm like I said, this is getting a negative two from it. It was basically a 5 because of the other characters. The other characters were great. Everybody in this was great. I would have rather have seen a straight up Western with those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was fun. It felt like I said before, a themed party of Western people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ending was terrible.
So what are you going to give it?
I'm giving it a 3.
Okay.
Pale Door gets a 3 out of 10 for me. 3, shitting the bed endings with Pearl looking at you like you're an idiot, because that's what she did a lot. But she only looked at you like you're an idiot out of one eye, because the other one was doing whatever the hell it was doing on the other side. Out of 10, yeah.
Oh my God.
What about you, honey?
I'm actually going to give it a, you know what? I loved all of this movie up until the freaking ending. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. We'll do 5 out of 10 shots to the gut. Because damn,
people
that
kept
happening.
Shot in the gut. For like, real. Oh my God.
Yeah, it could have. That ending, though, that ending is what killed it for me. Like, I understand where he was trying to be a good person all the way up until the end. I get that. You are a good person wherever you don't let the bad guy win. Which is what fucking happened.
Yeah, how many other people were sacrificed to that lady after that because he decided to be a little bitch? Like, I don't know.
I mean, look at that. Like, he already got his brother shot. So why not?
He freaking got poor Uncle Ben. Jesus Christ. Like, oh yeah. It was like, were we going to have like a moment there where great power becomes great responsibility or something like that? After you screwing up with the Pinkertons? I didn't really give a shit about the Pinkertons dying. They're assholes. It's still... But I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me with this crap? Ugh. But anyway, what about you? Did you think about it? Did you like it? Do you have your best Pig Latin ready? You want to send it to us? Reach out to us. Reach to us on esat3am@gmail.com. That's going to be the best way to get a hold of us. You can get us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at esat3am. Or you can go to our Wayne website, esat3am.com.
You said our Wayne website.
Our main website... I'm going to work on my diction, and you're going to be like, oh, you can't do mumbles all the time.
Perfect, perfect.
But you can go ahead and leave us a voicemail on there. It is esat3am.com. Link is down in the left-hand corner. Says, leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. So go ahead and leave us that voicemail. But until next time, we will see y'all later, and hopefully we will have a good ending, or at least a decent ending.
I'm
going to
watch
the next movie.
15 movies just to make sure it has a good ending before we do
God,
it.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
Anyways, yep, we'll see you soon. Bye.